This morning, we're continuing our church-wide study of the book of Ephesians. Now, if you've spent any of the last 3 weeks thinking, well, this is all good and nice stuff, but it seems kind of heady and abstract as we've been through Ephesians, you're not wrong. We've spent the previous weeks in the first three chapters looking at Paul's long-flowing argument about grace, how we're all saved by grace through Christ, that we're all chosen as God's children, that we approach God in prayer as beloved children. It's beautiful scripture, really, but I'll forgive you if you found yourself wondering when we're just going to get to the practical stuff. When was Paul going to start telling us how being children of God changes how we live? Once we're saved by the grace of Christ, what's next for us? How do we live as people of grace? Well, this morning we're going to make it to the practical. We're halfway through the book of Ephesians, and here Paul pivots to the practical. This is Paul telling us how we're supposed to live. You can even tell he's transitioning when you listen to the scripture. He starts with, "I, therefore." Therefore, since everything I have told you in the previous three chapters about Christ and grace and adoption as God's children is true, this is what's next for you. So our scripture comes from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 through 7, and then 11 through 16. "I, therefore, the prisoner in the Lord, beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, making every effort to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. There's one body and one Spirit, just as you are called to the one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in all. But each of you is given grace according to the measure of Christ's gift. The gifts he gave were that some would be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers, to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ, until all of us come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to maturity, to the measure of the full stature of Christ. We must no longer be children tossed to and fro and blown about by every wind of doctrine, by people's trickery, by their craftiness and deceitful scheming. But speaking the truth in love, we must grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promotes the body's growth and building itself up in love." This is the word of God for us, the people of God.
Thanks be to God.
How then do we live? Well, we live worthy of the calling to which we have been called. Now, what is that calling? Well, this is why it's so important to read books of the Bible as a whole, like we're doing in this study. Because if you just picked up your Bible and started reading Ephesians chapter 4, you wouldn't know what the calling to which you have been called is. But if you've been here in the previous weeks, or if you're in a small group, then you know. You know that the calling to which you have been called is beloved child of God, saved by the grace of Christ. This is not a calling you have earned on your own. This is not a calling just for the special chosen few. This is not a calling based on how special or awesome you are. This is not a calling for a specific part of your life, for your job, or for your role at church. This is a calling for your entire life. This is a calling on your life because of what Christ has already done for you. This is a calling for all of us as children of God to live differently because of the transformation we have experienced through Christ's grace. And what's at the core of this calling? Well, we're called to be united in Christ. Now, I don't know about you, but when I read this and think that after all these previous chapters, that the conclusion is to live united, I'm not that excited. Because unity is challenging. If we would be told here that to live a life worthy of the calling you have received meant that you were supposed to serve others or work for peace or offer comfort and hope to others, I'd be all over that message. But unity, that's hard. I mean, we're being told here that living a life worthy of the calling that we have received, that living a life worthy of the grace of Christ that we have received and our status as children of God means that we have to strive to live united with other children of God. That means we're going to have to work through our differences and our conflicts, that we're going to have to work together, that we're going to have to be community with each other. And here's a truth about living a Christian life. It gets infinitely harder anytime other people are involved. Yeah, think about that. So how do we do this? How do we live worthy? Well, we're going to talk about two ways to have unity this morning, because even two ways is going to be challenging. So first, we live united, but not by changing others. Unity comes from changing our own hearts, not by forcing others to change. How often are we guilty of thinking, well, I could be united with that person if only they would change themselves to be more like me? But that's not living a life worthy of the calling to which we have been called. Instead, through the grace of Christ, as God's beloved children, we are transformed so that we can be people who are united. Now, according to our scripture, there's a particular way we can go about this. We live out our calling to unity when we have humility, gentleness, patience, and love. Note again, these are all things we do to change ourselves, not to change others. These are markers of unity that hold us together. And so if we're going to live united, we must have humility. We must not try to make everything about ourselves. We must be willing for others to get credit. We must not point to ourselves, but to Christ in all that we do. And if we're going to be united, we must have gentleness. We must be thoughtful with our words and our actions. We must strive for calmness. We must focus on building up and not breaking others down. And if we're going to be united, we must be patient. We need to stop and take a deep breath when somebody gets on our nerves. We need to be willing to wait, to go slow, to not expect everything to happen immediately. And finally, if we're going to be united, we must love. We must rely on love, the love of God and the love we can have for others. Our responses should always be ones of love. All our interactions should be based on love. We live united, not by changing others, but by changing ourselves. Now, I'm not telling you need to change who you are or change your devotion to Christ, but we allow ourselves to be changed by Christ, to grow in humility and gentleness and patience and love, because it's then that we can be united by focusing on our commonalities in Christ. I have a friend that I met in college who is different from me in pretty much every possible way. She was an engineering major, and I was a religion major. We disagreed on most issues, whether it was something that was happening at our school, or a belief, or how to read the Bible. We realized that we viewed the world differently. She saw things very black and white, with clear rights and wrongs and specific ways of how to follow things. That's why she made a good engineer. Well, I'm a person that tends to see the gray, is often thinking about the one exception to the rule. And yet, we became friends because we had Christ in common. We are both deeply devoted to Christ. We're both involved in a small group that was instrumental to my own faith while I was in college. She supported my call to ministry, even though I know I was the first woman she ever met in her life who wanted to be a pastor. She ended up actually spending a few years as a missionary in Africa after college. I financially supported her every month, even as a seminary with little to no income. Why? Because Christ had transformed both of us to know that even with all that could separate us, that we were united by the grace of Christ. We live united, not by changing others, but by changing ourselves. And then we also live united, but not by being the same. Of course, it would be super easy to be united if everybody that we had to be united with were the same as us. We'd be really good at being united if everybody acted like us and looked like us and held the same worldview as us and liked the same things as us. But this scripture makes it clear that that's not the case. And it's not the case for good reason. Instead, as part of leading a life worthy of the calling to which we've been called, Christ has given us different gifts. We aren't all created to be the same. We were created to be different, to have unique gifts and personhood and interests and passions. We were created to be a body of different parts working together. We live united not by being the same, but by using the gifts God has given us. I have two friends that I go on vacation with about once a year. We've traveled together enough by this point that we have specific roles when we're in the car together. One friend does all the driving. I sit in the front and I do all the navigating. I follow the Google Maps and tell us where to turn. The other friend sits in the back and manages the snacks. These are all equally important roles, and we're all uniquely gifted to do these jobs. And when we travel like this, we're more united. If we switched it up, we would end up lost with a person who's driving that's unhappy that they're driving, about directions being given in the wrong way, and a person in the back who doesn't realize that the whole problem could be solved if only some snacks were offered to the car. When we live into our gifts and who Christ created us to be, it actually allows us to live more united. This happens in our church too. It happens even more importantly with our spiritual gifts. We live worthy of the calling to which we have been called when we use the gifts God has given us, and when we encourage others to use their gifts as well. And when we don't do that, not only are we not living united, but we're missing out on opportunities to allow others to live life worthy for themselves. For example, we have care ministers here at our church who might make poor preschool Sunday school teachers. And we have preschool Sunday school teachers who might not be great trustees. And we have trustees who might not make delicious food for funeral lunches. And we have cooks who might not make great sound and video volunteers in the back. And we have what I hope you think are at least average pastors who would be really bad choir members. Now, of course, there are exceptions to all of these, except the pastors in the choir. But there are exceptions. Some of you are uniquely gifted in multiple ways and could fulfill many of those roles. But in general, when we try to fulfill a role that we aren't gifted for in our church, it doesn't turn out as well. We might find it leading to more discord. And more importantly, we're causing somebody else to miss out on a chance to use their own gifts and to live their own life worthy in Christ. So take a moment and think, what gifts do you bring? We all bring something, faith or knowledge or leadership or service or mercy or helping. So what are your gifts? And how might you use those gifts to bring about unity? Maybe you'll teach others so that they will be mature in faith and see the importance of unity. Maybe you'll pass along wisdom to those in need of clarity. Maybe you will supply mercy to those who find themselves outside of the unity of the church. Maybe you'll provide faith to support somebody who's struggling to have faith in the midst of a difficult situation. Whatever your gifts are, you're called to use them for the unity of the church, the body of Christ, so that all might be mature and complete and joined and knitted together by every ligament with which it is equipped, as each part is working properly, promoting the body's growth and building itself up in love. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, we are thankful that because we have been chosen as your children, because we have received the gift of Christ's grace, we can live a life worthy of this calling. Lord, help us to be people who seek to be united, who allow ourselves to be transformed, and who use the unique gifts we've been given to serve you and others. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.